From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. When we think of contaminated drinking water in the U.S., we often think of Flint, Michigan. But in fact, after Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico last year, water quality on the island has now plummeted so far that Puerto Ricans appear to have the worst drinking water quality. Drinking water is not tested very often, and even if it were, deep distrust of the local government has left many residents wondering where they can get clean drinking water. Now, an independent project to provide clean water to Puerto Rico is relying on making available water filtration systems to address the contamination and also prepare for future hurricanes. Joining me to discuss it is Leslie Mas Cortez, Program Director of Proyecto Agua Limpia of the Puerto Rico Science, Technology, and Research Trust. Welcome to the program, Leslie.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So let's first talk about the problem. What did Hurricane Maria do to Puerto Rico's water supply? Presumably, drinking water contamination wasn't always a problem.
Well, drinking water contamination was a bit of a problem prior to the hurricane.
I see.
The water system and the electrical system are obviously connected, and they're vulnerable in times of the hurricane. And the systems, the infrastructure in Puerto Rico has gone for years with deferred maintenance. And because of years of deferred maintenance and other issues, when the hurricane hit, these systems became unable to deal with the extremity of the problem.
So how do we know how bad the situation is, and has any of the rebuilding addressed drinking water, restoring drinking water?
Okay, so it's difficult to always know exactly how bad the situation is at any given time. But regular testing is happening, and water service has been restored to most places in Puerto Rico. The difference is that it might not be the same volume, and it might not be as consistent in service as usual. The infrastructure suffered severe damage, and people are assessing these damages now, and these are being looked at to receive funding for infrastructure rebuild. And in areas that don't receive government service water, NGOs have bonded together with local community leaders and local governments to work to rebuild infrastructure and provide independent electrical sources for their water pumping stations.
Now, water is absolutely essential. Humans cannot go very long without drinking water. What have Puerto Ricans been doing for the past year? How have they been coping? Where has the water come from?
So many people have a consistent primary source of drinking water. What happens is that consistent primary source of drinking water has become more inconsistent since the hurricane. And now things have been restored, but during those times of inconsistent service, people resort to secondary sources of water. And those secondary sources of water are often sources that come directly from the earth that are unfiltered and untreated, rivers, wells that might not be regulated, and water that they're storing from the rain in plastic drums, or water that they store prior to service being interrupted.
So basically anywhere they can. I mentioned the widespread distrust with government and with government assuring the levels of drinking water might be safe to drink. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Well, what I hear when I go into the field and work in communities is that people really desire to have a home use filter that they feel will serve them with potable drinking water, so that they feel assured that they're providing potable drinking water for their children and their families. Oftentimes, people will tell me they prefer to buy bottled water. than to use tap water. More than 60% of our respondents say that their primary drinking source is bottled water. But oftentimes people in the community comment they cannot afford to buy bottled water that serves their needs sufficiently. And so the home-based filtration units are very desirable right now.
Right. I mean, buying only bottled water can get very expensive very quick. And I understand some of the efforts at providing aid in the aftermath of the hurricane, of course, included bottled water. But there was that horrible story about huge pallets of bottled water just lying unused and undistributed on a remote part of the island that, you know, have been sitting in the sun now for a year and are undrinkable. It's just terrible to even think about that waste. What, as far as you know, what are the contaminants that Puerto Ricans are having to deal with in their water? I mean, when we look at the issue of Flint, Michigan, there was very specific types of contamination. There was lead contamination. It had to do with the chemical lining of the pipes. What are Puerto Ricans, what is Puerto Rico's water supply dealing with in terms of contamination?
Well, that's a good question. We do some water testing as part of our project, and we're mainly focused on bacteriological testing because after the hurricane, that was of a concern. Flooding causes, you know, the spread of bacterial diseases through water, and so that was our main focus. However, now since it's been well over a year since the hurricane happened, the bacteriological contamination has definitely been reduced. And so that is good news. People do also need to worry about things like lead and arsenic. So we did a small pilot test in about 45 homes of metals. And this data has not been published yet, but the preliminary results from this small sample show that arsenic, in particularly in the western area of Puerto Rico, arsenic is a main concern, and in some homes, lead also.
Wow. So we're talking about very toxic substances, and especially children are quite vulnerable. Now, here in the U.S., many people, depending upon where they live, here on the U.S. mainland, I should say, many people, depending upon where they live, can comfortably drink the water that comes out of the faucet. In other parts of the country, it's recommended to have a filter. Many fridges now just come with filters attached. What is the, on the island, what access do people have to personal water filtration systems? Because it seems as though having one's own filter could really offer a low-cost measure of independence.
Yes, that is true. I think people do make it a priority to have a filter in their home if it's at all affordable and available to them. It is confusing, though, to understand one's environment and the water source for their tap water and what types of filters are the best for them to use, given their circumstances. And I think that offers us an opportunity for a very well-informed educational campaign about which types of filters to use, what types of products you might add to the filter to offer different services based on the contaminants in one's water, given their area where they live. And that is something that we need to do more studying about, more research about, so that our messages are very effective.
So tell us about your project, Proyecto Agua Limpia, and what how you are going about approaching this problem.
In our project, Proyecto Agua Limpia, we focus in areas where the government service water utility does not reach. Those communities are oftentimes most vulnerable for water contamination and for sanitation issues. And so we provide home use filters for those communities. In addition to that, we receive about, I would say, 50 phone calls a day from people living all over the island requesting filters for their families and for their communities. And so that can give you like a basic idea of the demand that is perceived by the public right now for the need for filters.
What kind of filters are you able to provide? And, you know, where is the funding coming from? One would hope that the US government would be helping out with a project like this.
Yeah, one would hope. But actually, the funding right now is coming from Puerto Rico, from Unidos por Puerto Rico. It's a group that collected millions of dollars post Hurricane Maria. It was mainly spearheaded by Governor Rocio's wife, our first lady, and now it's overseen by a board. So our funding runs out now in December with Unidos por Puerto Rico, and they have been the main provider of these water filter units all over Puerto Rico for these communities. I believe that offering a home-based filter for people in need post-disasters like Hurricane Maria is a great approach for federal government and aid agencies to take, because it reduces waste caused by plastic bottled water. It reduces other problems that water bottled in plastic has related to health. And it provides people a sense of security that they have control over their potable water source. And it's much more cost effective in the long run.
And obviously, we are living in a time when the impacts of climate change are very real, showing up, you know, in hurricane after hurricane and all sorts of, you know, heat waves. And the government's not doing anything about it or not doing enough about it. And so we are going to see more effects of climate change. We are going to continue to see strong hurricanes, those rare once in 100-year hurricanes happening far more often. So does a project like this help set up those people who have these personal filtration systems as a sort of resiliency, you know, approach to prepare for the next hurricane?
Exactly, precisely. So in Puerto Rico, we have extreme situations, much like California, you know, frequently suffers extreme environmental events. And we have hurricane, we have hurricane season, and we also have droughts. In the off season of the hurricanes, and our droughts are very severe. In fact, I think in 2014, 2015, we had one of the worst droughts in history of Puerto Rico, and water was being rationed. People were receiving water once or two times every 3 days. So these water filter units are extremely important for Puerto Rico and for others that are in these similar situations.
How would a water filtration unit work during a drought? Because the water has to come from somewhere before you filter it.
Yes, that's true. But a water filtration unit does offer a home, a way to process and filter stored water. So a lot of times people in a drought situation will store water, any type of water that they have, if they know that water will be rationed. If tap water will be rationed, people will start to fill their bathtubs, to fill plastic drums, to fill paint pails, like five gallon paint buckets. Water will be stored for long periods of time, and if it's not treated over that time period, it can become contaminated. So these filters offer a way to use stored water in a safe way.
So what has the response been among those who have these filtration systems? Are they feeling more independent? Are they, you know, is this now becoming the sort of, you know, measure of one's status in Puerto Rico? Having a water filtration system basically can mean that you can survive.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The response has been overwhelming, and we have so many calls and so many people desiring filters. It's been overwhelming.
So you're just basically limited by the funding that you can get?
Yes, that's correct. We're limited by the funding, and now we're pushing a phase 3 campaign to provide filter cartridge replacements to all the existing filters on the island. There are about 130,000 filters that have been distributed that are home use filters, not just for emergency purposes, but they're nice quality home use filter for everyday use. And those cartridges need to be replaced. And so that is our big push right now.
Have you found that there are health problems over the past year directly related to the contaminated water that people have been exposed to? Because, again, water is absolutely essential. You cannot go very long without water.
Yes. So obviously something that's been in the news recently, or maybe not recently, but in the last maybe 5 months, has been the count of leptospirosis deaths in Puerto Rico. And that is a disease that's always present in Puerto Rico. The death rates from leptospirosis in the tropics and in Puerto Rico are higher than other parts of the world. And so it's always a threat. But after Hurricane Maria, those deaths due to leptospirosis rose sharply. And it's not a lot of deaths when you just hear the raw number, but if you look at the rates over time, it rose to epidemic proportions. So that was quite serious. And a simple water filter like the ones that we use, not all filters, but the ones that we do provide will filter out Leptospira, the bacteria that causes that disease. And other things like just gastrointestinal disorder, other diseases that cause not death, but just illness are frequently transferred through water.
And of course, you mentioned lead and arsenic before. The impacts of those are neurologically is quite well documented, that it can have on especially developing brains, right?
Yes, that's
Yeah.
true. It's concerning.
What can ordinary people do here in the US mainland? There's been an outpouring of support, especially after Hurricane Maria, a lot of solidarity from ordinary Americans, even if Congress isn't doing enough about it. What can ordinary Americans do? And also Puerto Ricans living here in the mainland.
Well, I mean, people can always donate to our project. We welcome donations on our website. It's at www.aguaLimpiaPR.org. And that's also available at the Puerto Rico Science, Technology, and Research Trust's website, www.aguaLimpiaPR.org. There's a way to donate to our project. Also, simply call and ask, if you'd like to get involved, if you'd like to volunteer. I know we have many students that come and visit us from various universities doing student programs or small research projects that have to do with water quality or community-based public health work. We will be starting to sell water bottles, and so look out for that. You can get your very own aluminum coated water bottle, Project Agua Limpia water bottle, and that would definitely help our project. And I think the best way is just to really work with local communities and local NGOs to understand what's happening on the ground and help through those mechanisms.
The organization that this project is part of, the Puerto Rico Science, Technology, and Research Trust, tell us a little bit more about that, and the work that it does more broadly speaking.
The Puerto Rico Science, Technology, and Research Trust was created by law in 2004. It has been up and running, really taking off in about 2014. It's a large organization with several initiatives. So it's sort of like an umbrella organization. The mission is to promote the advancement of technology and innovation, research and technology transfer in Puerto Rico. We'd like to attract researchers and scientists and keep those on the island. Learning about science and research there, working by attracting businesses and entrepreneurs to our island.
I imagine that there's been an exodus, or the ongoing exodus increased over the past year since the quality of living has dropped after Hurricane Maria.
Yes,
Yeah.
precisely.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Leslie. Good luck to you with the project. We'll post a link where people can contribute and support the work that you and others are doing at your organization.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
My guest has been Leslie Mas Cortez, Program Director of Proyecto Agua Limpia of the Puerto Rico Science, Technology, and Research Trust. We've been discussing Puerto Rico's water contamination problems and the ways in which personal filtration systems can be one way to address that. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.